The image and voice faded from the new studios, along with the aromatic scent of blossom. But not the shy half-smile that lingered for a long time. Christ, young, pretty, rich, and smart. How about that? By the end of the day, Tranquility had received 84,000 invitations for Ione. She was wanted at parties and dinners. She was asked to give speeches and present prizes. Her name was wanted on the board of interstellar companies. Designers offered their entire portfolio for her to wear. Charities begged her to become their patron. Old friends treated her as though she was a reincarnated messiah. Everyone wanted to be her new friend. And Joshua. Joshua got very grumpy when she spent the first evening reviewing Tranquility's summaries of the incredible public reaction, rather than spending it in bed with him. He was also none too happy that Lady Macbeth's refit was still a fortnight short of completion. Over the next 20 hours, 75 charter flights were organized to carry recordings of Ione round the Confederation. The news company offices were engaged in a ferocious ratings war. They were desperate to break the scoop on as many worlds as possible, as soon as possible. Starship captains cursed their earlier binding contracts to deliver mundane cargoes, and some even broke them. Those that didn't have immediate contracts named wholly unreasonable prices to the news companies, which were paid without question. Right across the Confederation, the sensation-hungry devoured Ione, rekindling an avid interest in the black sheep branch of the Saldanha family, and even briefly pushing the old Lamil Enigma into the limelight again. Merchants became extremely wealthy on Ione fashions and Ione accessories. Blue Sense directors remodeled their female meat to look and feel like her. Mood fantasy bands composed tracks about her. Even Jezebella announced she looked cute, and said she'd like to fuck her one day. The news agencies on Kulu and its principality worlds treated her appearance as a minor footnote. The royal family didn't believe in censoring the press, but the court certainly didn't see her appearance as anything to celebrate. Black market sensorized recordings of her sold for an absolute fortune right across the kingdom. It was one of the abandoned cargo contracts which brought Joshua his first charter 2 days later. Roland Frampton was a merchant friend of Barrington Greer, which was how he heard of the Lady Macbeth, and how she would be ready to depart in 14 days. "When I get my hands on that bastard Captain MacDonald, I'll have him broken up for transplant meat," Roland said angrily. "The Corum sister won't get another cargo contract this side of Jupiter, that I do promise." Joshua sipped his mineral water and nodded sympathetically. Harkey's bar didn't have the same appeal by day, although the term was ambiguous in a starscraper. But people's biorhythms were in tune with the habitat light tube. His body knew this was mid-morning. "I paid good rates, you know. Not like I was ripping him off. It was a regular run. Now this bloody girl comes along and everyone goes berserk." "Hey, I'm glad we've got a Saldanha back running things," Barrington Greer protested. "If she's half as good as the last two lords, this place is going to be swinging." "Yeah, well, I haven't got no quarrel with her," Roland Frampton said hurriedly. "But the way people react..." He shook his head in bemusement. "Did you hear what the news companies were offering captains for the Avon run?" "Yes, Mayor and the UDAT got the Time Universe charter to Avon," Joshua said with a grin. "The point is, Joshua, I'm up shit creek," Roland Frampton said. "I've got my clients screaming for those nanonic medical supplements. There are a lot of wealthy old people in Tranquility. The medical industry here is big business. I'm sure we can come to an arrangement." "Cards on the table, Joshua. I'll pay you 350,000 fuser dollars for the flight, with an extra 70,000 bonus if we can get them back here in 5 weeks from today. After that, I can offer you a regular contract, a flight to Rosenheim every 6 months. Not to be sneered at, Joshua." Joshua glanced at Melvin Ducharme, who was stirring his coffee idly. He had come to rely a lot on his fusion engineer during Lady Mac's refit. He was 48 with over 20 years solid starflight experience behind him. The dark-skinned little man gave a small nod. "Okay," Joshua said, "but you know the score, Roland. The Lady Mac doesn't leave that bay until I'm happy she's integrated properly. I'm not rushing it and botching it just for the sake of a $70,000 bonus. Rowland Frampton gave him an unhappy look.
"Sure, Joshua, I appreciate that."
They shook on it and started to work out details.